I'm reading from Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 7. But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honoured in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made.
And from the New Testament, we've got Luke chapter 3, starting at verse 15. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. And then from Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They'd simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Andrew, and thank you, Eileen and Susie, for our readings. So you probably know this is the second Sunday of the Epiphany season, stretching from January the 6th to February the 2nd. And Epiphany is about the manifestation of the Lord, the revealing of Jesus. Last Sunday, it was about the Magi, also known as the wise men or the kings. They were the first Gentiles, the first non-Jews who met with Jesus. And he was revealed to them. He was manifested to the nations, the countries beyond Israel, the Goyim, as the Hebrews called them. And then there are two other stories that sort of get rolled into the Epiphany season. There's that story that we just heard Susie read about Christ's baptism by John at the Jordan, when the heavens were opened and the voice from heaven declared Jesus to be God's beloved Son. And then next Sunday, the story in John's Gospel of the first miracle at Cana in Galilee, where Jesus, we're told, Jesus first manifested his glory and his disciples believed in him. So all three of those events, if you like, sharing that characteristic of God revealing Jesus to the world, showing us who he is. So today it's about the baptism of Jesus by John in the Jordan. And if you go to Israel and visit the Jordan, there are actually several places down the Jordan River which say, this was where it happened, come here, buy your trinkets here, come and have lunch here. You know, we're the ones, we're the genuine place. Of course, nobody actually knows literally where the spot was, but there are lots of lovely sort of spots by the river where you can go and immerse yourself or perhaps be baptized by the leader of your tour or whatever in the River Jordan, and you can collect some water from the River Jordan and bring it back home with you if you want to. And Isaiah 43, that prophecy about Israel, is very appropriate for this that Eileen read. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you're starting ministry, perhaps Jesus might have thought of those words. And indeed, a lot of the words apply to his ministry. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. You might think of the story of Daniel, his three friends who were in the blazing fiery furnace. Do you remember? And they weren't harmed. They weren't even singed by the flames at all. The Lord protected them. Maybe Jesus was aware of that when he was under attack, when he was being accused by Pharisees and lawyers and so on. And then again, the prophecy says, I'll bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I'll say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who's called by my name. Jesus might have thought of his ministry as bringing people from the nations to worship God, or indeed in his death, drawing all men to God and to himself. So that prophecy from Isaiah really fits, I think, the ministry of Jesus, which was inaugurated, if you like, at his baptism. So in our story from Luke's Gospel, John the Baptizer is out in the wilderness. He's a strange character, telling people to repent because the Lord is on the way, coming soon. He might have been wearing those sandwich boards, I think, mightn't he, front and back, announcing the coming of God. And as a sign of repentance, he tells people they should be baptized in the Jordan River. And baptism, of course, is a symbol of drowning, of dying to your old ways of sin. And then as you come up out of the water, rising to new life, coming into a new life, perhaps a new birth, like emerging from the waters of the womb. Baptism is meant to be like a second birth into new life. And I'm sure people looked askance at John. He was a strange character, but impressive, without a doubt. And the people were asking, could he himself be the Christ? Could this be the Messiah, the one that God was sending? And John responded, no, it's not me. It's not me at all. There's someone even more impressive coming soon. I baptize with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Someone's coming who I'm not even worthy to undo his shoes and wash his feet as a servant would. He's much more than I am. And so as John was baptizing people, in amongst the crowds coming for baptism, Jesus came too. Perhaps unnoticed at first, in stealth mode, I think, didn't he? And in the other Gospels, we read that John spotted him coming. And John was puzzled by Jesus coming for baptism. Why, John thought, did Jesus need to be baptized? That's a bit like, I don't know, if you imagine the star of a big West End show coming to the ticket office and paying for his own ticket. And you think, that's mad. That's not right. He's meant to be the big one, the star of the show. People have come to see him, actually. John also knew something else, I think. John knew somehow that Jesus was the one person who didn't need to repent. This was the one person who had no sin to get rid of. This was the one person who, if anything, John should be baptized by Jesus. But Jesus responds to John, no, let it be so. Let it happen. This is the right thing to do, to fulfill all righteousness. God wants it this way. Now, the Old Testament law laid down the requirements for the priesthood. If you wanted to join the priesthood, you had to be a minimum of 30 years old. Priests had to be between 30 and 50. Jesus came at the age of 30 for his baptism. You had to be washed with water, cleansing water. You had to be anointed by God. So in a way, perhaps this was Jesus, the beginning, if you like, of Jesus' priesthood. Jesus, the priest, making the sacrifice for Israel and atoning for the sins of the people before God. So perhaps that's one reason why Jesus thought this is the way to fulfill all righteousness, to fulfill the Old Testament, if you like, in Jesus' ministry. But repentance for sin, that's the meaning of baptism, isn't it? That's what John called the people to do. John seemed to know that this, though, was the one person who was pure before God, who had no need to repent. So why did Jesus need to come for baptism? John was puzzled. Well, one commentator says it was not a baptism of repentance for his sin. It was a baptism of repentance for my sin and yours. And just as Jesus died on the cross, not for his own sin, but for yours and mine, so perhaps he was being baptized here in solidarity with us, on behalf of you and me. Because what Jesus was doing when he came to earth was he was identifying with us. He was being born and living and dying as one of us, so that we might identify with him, so that we might become children of God. So he identifies with us so that we might identify with him. That's true in his healings also, if you think about it. When Jesus laid hands on people, the unclean were made clean. Normally, it was the reverse. Normally, if you touch somebody, you were made unclean by their illness, by their sin. With Jesus, it was the other way around. When Jesus touched sin or sickness, instead of him being affected, dirtied, if you like, instead of that, the righteousness of God flowed from him and cleansed the sinner and healed the sick person. That was the way it worked with Jesus. He was unique in that sense. And so John baptized Jesus to fulfill all righteousness. And as he did so, as Jesus came up out of the water praying, the heavens were opened. The Holy Spirit descended and alighted on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." In our creeds we declare that God is three persons in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you picture the scene of Jesus' baptism, here are the three persons of the Trinity in this scene, aren't they? The Father opening the heavens, the voice from heaven. The Holy Spirit descending on Jesus like a dove. And of course, the Son himself in the waters of the Jordan. And so we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And those, if you like, three persons of the Trinity authenticating Jesus, underlining John's testimony that this is the Lamb of God, this is the Saviour of the world. And don't you love that phrase too? "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Can't you just see the smile from heaven? Don't you get the feeling of a proud father? I think every child should hear these words of encouragement from their parents. Because we need affirmation, don't we? We need encouragement. We need to know that we are loved. So parents, tell your children how much you love them. None of us is perfect, of course we aren't. But tell them that you love them. Because in this moment, I think, Jesus found his identity, his security in his heavenly Father. This is who we are. This is where we belong. And that's why people talk about baptism as, if you like, the key event for all Christians. This is the beginning. This is the initiation ceremony. This is the starting gun, if you like, of Christian life. Some of you were born into a Christian family. And so, logically, I suppose, that was when your Christian life began. Hearing Bible stories, growing into faith, much as you grow physically, mentally, emotionally, so you grow spiritually as well. Learning about the Lord, learning to pray to him, reading the stories and so on. But that's not true of everybody. Others were born into a non-Christian family and encounter Christianity as a teenager or an adult, meet with Christ when they're older and come to faith as an adult. And for people like you, like that, we baptize adults at whatever age people repent and turn to Christ. And so there are stories in Acts, for example. Do you remember the in Acts 8, the Ethiopian who was just been to Jerusalem? He'd probably heard the stories about Jesus. He was heading back home in his chariot, and the apostle Philip catches up with him and tells him about Jesus, tells him about the fulfillment of prophecy. And the Ethiopian says, look, here's water by the side of the road. Why shouldn't I be baptized? What's to prevent it? He recognized baptism was the way to publicly acknowledge his faith. Or Paul on the road to Damascus, it was a sudden experience, wasn't it? An adult encounter with the living Christ. Not true of everybody. I'm sure some of the apostles and disciples, it took them years to come to realize who Jesus was. And then in Acts 8, we read that third story about the new Christians in Samaria. Christians who'd perhaps missed out a bit on the story. They'd only been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus, but they'd not yet received the Holy Spirit. And so the apostles Peter and John are sent to go and sort them out. And they come to Samaria and they lay hands on them. And a little like a bishop coming round for confirmation, perhaps, and laying hands on the candidates. The new Christians in Samaria then receive the Holy Spirit to empower them in their Christian life. And the Spirit is poured out on them and they're full of joy and power, much like Carol was explaining to us. That was her experience a week or two back. And often that is the way, actually. In a confirmation service, the bishop lays hands on the candidates, prays for them, perhaps as a moment of quiet, and sometimes people experience that joy and overwhelming power of the Spirit filling them and perhaps giving them the gifts of the Spirit as they pray. We're actually starting some confirmation classes soon. Wendy Pagden is taking names. So if any of you are interested in that, let us know and we'll make a little note and see how we can work it out. We're not sure where it will be. It depends slightly how many candidates we have for confirmation, whether we can hold it here in our benefice or whether it will need to be taken elsewhere. But just as I close, I wonder what God is saying to you from these stories, from this story. Maybe he's saying that you need to tell your children you love them. Or maybe to hear approval from your parents, or indeed of God himself. Maybe you need to be baptized or confirmed in your faith. Maybe God's got a message for you, or maybe for you to give to somebody else. So take just a moment of quiet and ask what the Lord is saying to you. Let God speak to you right now as we sit here. What's the Lord saying to you? And if you want to do business with God today, don't leave here without meeting with him. Why not come for prayer at the end of our service here at the front? And there'll be a couple of people here who would love to pray with you. Just stay engaged with God and receiving from him for a moment.
God said to Jesus, I love you. I'm well pleased with you. We are God's sons and daughters. He loves us. And he is well pleased with us. Just remember that. He is well pleased with us. And he loves us.